The Hawaiian hawk is a symbol of royalty. The population of the Io has stabilized in recent years, so there's a move to take the noble raptor off the federal endangered species list. Ever heard one in the wild? Take a listen to its call. This week, we talked to Gregory Kube of the Fish and Wildlife Service about the process of delisting a threatened or endangered species. It doesn't happen often, particularly here in the Hawaiian Islands, which some call the endangered species capital of the world.
We delisted something in the Mariana Islands, the Tinian monarch, which is a bird on Tinian Island.
And that bounced back?
It bounced back. There was a hurricane that happened, so we're looking at it again. But you heard about the hurricane that hit the Marianas just a couple of weeks ago. So we are monitoring it, but yeah, it came back. It was good.
So explain to our listeners, what's the process when you folks move to delist an animal that may be endangered or threatened?
So everything that's listed, we have a five-year review process. So every 5 years, we look at the status of the species. We look to see if it still meets the definition of threatened or endangered. If it doesn't meet that, or it actually has gone up from threatened to endangered, or if it goes down from endangered to threatened or not needing protection anymore, we will then propose to change its status. In the case of the EO, we propose to change it from endangered to not endangered, so not needing listing anymore.
Okay, and so give our listeners a snapshot of where the Hawaiian hawk is found, where it used to be found and where it is now.
It used, as far as we know, it was found on from Kauai to the Big Island, everywhere in between Oahu, Molokai, Maui, Big Island. Right now it's only found on the Big Island, but it is found throughout the whole island of Hawaii.
And so what led to its demise on the other islands?
We're not exactly sure. We know it was found there. We have fossil evidence that it was on Kauai for sure and Molokai for sure. There's visual evidence, reports of the other islands. But as far as we know, it wasn't. We don't know what made it go just to the Big Island. We're not sure what it was. It's just an unknown for us.
And so is it spread pretty evenly across the Big Island?
Yeah, if you look at a map of its distribution, it's basically a circle around the island. It's from sea level all the way up to 8,000 feet. So it's quite well spread out.
What led us to determine that maybe it's time to take it off this list?
When it was listed, we only knew about several hundred individuals. Now there's about 3,000 individuals, and they've been at that level. They've been fairly stable for the last 20 years or so. So because of that stability and those numbers, we're pretty comfortable that it's not needing protections under the Endangered Species Act anymore.
Okay. And if it doesn't have the federal protections, what about state protections?
There's still a state endangered species law, so the state can keep it endangered or threatened under their law. Or if they choose to delist it as well, there's still wildlife protections. Native wildlife is protected by state law. People can't harm or kill native animals. So as a native animal, it's got that protection.
Okay, so it's not like when you delist it off the federal list that then it's a free-for-all for hunters.
Right. So it'll be delisted from the Endangered Species Act, but it's still protected by the Federal Migratory Bird Treaty Act and then all the state laws that are protecting animals.
What's the biggest threat?
The biggest threat, well, actually, we're thinking the threats are gone or they're managed. The biggest threat really is what might happen in the future if a disease comes in or another predator of the EO comes in, or massive loss of habitat. If those things happen, then we'll reconsider listing it. But right now, the threats are pretty much managed. They reproduce. There's a stable population, so we don't really consider the threats there anymore. There's future threats, but we look at the current condition rather than what might happen in the future.
So these are tree nesters, not ground nesters.
Yes, these are tree nesters. So they like forests. They use native forest and non-native forest, so trees in general. They do have to have a certain structure for them to nest in, but a lot of trees provide that structure. They also use trees to perch, to look for their food. They don't soar around like you see eagles, you know, you watch TV, eagles soar around and then they dive for their food. EO, they perch in a large tree, look for their food, then they dive and get it. So they're not soaring and hunt, they hunt from a tree.
What do they eat?
Rats, mice, birds, large insects, moths, that kind of thing.
Boy, we really need to have them step up on the mongoose and rats, don't we?
Exactly. They do a service. So they are providing some rat control, some mouse control, some mongoose control for farmers and ranchers.
Yeah, too bad they can't do anything with the wild pigs.
Exactly, yeah.
As far as the healthy populations then that are prospering on the Big Island, what are the chances that you would relocate them to other islands?
There's always a possibility, but they are a predator for our native forest birds. And because our native forest birds are in such dire straits with avian malaria, they're pretty much only at high elevations. Bringing in a predator like the EO to where it's not now isn't really good for our native forest birds. If we do recover the native forest birds, then there would be an opportunity to move the EO to other islands. So it's considered a small hawk as far as hawks go around the world. It gets maybe about a foot tall. There's two color morphs, so there's two different types. You'll see some with a brown top with a white bottom. Their undercarriage, I suppose, is white, and their top, their back, is brown. Some are brown all the way through, the top and the bottom.
And anything about their hunting habits?
Well, if you go to the Big Island and you look up, you almost always see EO. There's something soaring in the sky, so you can see them looking around. They will go, like I said, go to a large tree, a snag, a tree without a lot of leaves on the top, and they look around and they hunt from there. They prefer to hunt in open areas, although they are adapted to hunt in the forest itself. So they can get forest birds and other birds flying through the canopies of the trees. But they tend now to hunt in open areas, like ranches and farmland, on the outskirts of the forests.
Okay, but they're making a comeback.
They are making a comeback, yeah. Like I said, there were only about 100 or so, several hundred maybe, a couple hundred, 300, when we listed it in 1967. Now in 2018, at least 3,000.
So tell us about the other birds that kind of fly through here.
So we do get occasional visitors. We've had occasional visitors of eagles or falcons. They don't come, they're called vagrants. So that's the ornithological term, although it's used for other things as well. But migratory birds are birds that come here on a regular basis, either every year or every couple of years. Vagrants are birds that are blown off course and show up, or they're just flying around and they end up here. And we occasionally get something like a falcon or an eagle, but those are fairly rare. It's more common to get something like a water bird, a snow goose, or some other type of goose or duck.
And we've had those recently?
We have had those recently. The refuges often report a snow goose, not often, occasionally report a snow goose, for example, that showed up recently.
In Maui?
On Maui, yeah. Canadian geese come here on their own, but they don't breed here. So most of our migratory birds, they come here and don't breed. The Kolea is another, not the Kolea, the Kolea is another example. The golden plover, they come here, then they go and breed on the main in Alaska. So we do have regular migratory visitors. Mallards will come here on a regular basis, but we do have feral mallards.
And so what's the danger in having birds breed here?
Breeding here, it's the big danger for the Kolea, our Hawaiian duck, is that they do breed with feral mallards. They won't breed with migratory mallards, but they breed with those that have become residents. Then they get genetically weaker. So they're hybrids. They're not the same species anymore. That eventually means we won't have Kolea. So if we have breeding that happens, that causes problems just because of the hybrid problem.
So here on Oahu, what do we have?
We've got feral mallards breeding with Kolea. So we don't really have any pure Kolea, no pure Hawaiian ducks on this island. There might be a few, but generally they're considered mostly hybrids. Kauai and the Big Island have more pure Kolea. So they're still doing okay, but without controlling or managing the hybrid problem, we're going to eventually lose that species.
Right, because that could be tricky.
It is.
I mean,
yeah.
How do you keep them out, right?
Yeah. Mostly it's because it's a feral problem. It's if people keep them on their property as opposed to letting them go and becoming, you know, common in parks or in other waterways where they can breed with the wild species. It's just like with other predators or animals, keeping them in your possession, in your control, is a much better way of dealing with animals. The feral ducks, farmers use them to control slugs and snails on their property. So they have a use, but the farmers don't want them to go. They want them to stay on their property to control those pests. So those aren't wildlife anymore. They're domesticated animals.
Right. So they go after the apple snails in the taro fields,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. And they've been trained to do that. So the farmer wants to make sure they're doing that work. It's the ones that get away and become that become problems. Just like the feral animals, dogs, cats, deer, pigs, those were all domesticated at one point in time. Maybe that's a deer, but they become wild, but they were brought over here for different purposes.
Any chance that there would be a threat with the Hawaiian hawk?
The Hawaiian hawk, as far as we know, it doesn't, nothing comes here often enough for it to hybridize with. And the predators that we have here are not predators for the Hawaiian hawk. Because it nests in trees, it's pretty much protected from mongoose, rats, cats, and it's a large enough, it eats those as well, so it can protect itself. But if another predator came in and became established that could eat the hawk, then it'd be a problem.
Okay, and so if the comment period ends and you determine that you can delist it, is there going to be a big party?
Well, we will celebrate that fact. We will definitely advertise and let people know about that. And I don't know if we'll have a party. But we definitely will celebrate it. We do have to monitor the species for another 5 years after it's listed to make sure that that is still the case, that it's still a stable population. But it is something we're going to celebrate, yes.
That was Gregory Kube from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The public has until November 29th to submit comments about the delisting of the Hawaiian hawk. For links, check our website at hawaiipublicradio.org.